Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. If you are over 65, as most of us probably are, Medicare is likely to be your primary health coverage. Are you satisfied with what it provides? Have you had any problems or difficulties with your coverage? Did you ever wonder how it compares with health care for seniors in other countries? An article in Next Avenue from November 2017 does just that, how Medicare pales against health care abroad. It's an eye-opener, and it's February 2018 article, What President Trump's Medicare Proposals May Mean, hints at what might be ahead. In addition, Forbes' October 7, 2017 article explains a potentially simple solution to the Medicare enrollment mess, and the National Council on Aging offers the positive and negative impacts to Medicare of the 2018 budget that was just passed, beginning with how Medicare pales against health care abroad by Richard Eisenberg. The American public really likes Medicare. In a Harvard School of Public Health survey, 72% had a favorable opinion of the federal health program for people 65 plus, and 54% in a Kaiser Family Foundation poll said Medicare is working well for most seniors. But a new bubble-bursting 11-country survey finds that, in reality, Medicare pales against many other nations that also have universal health coverage for their older population. More precisely, according to the Commonwealth Fund's 20th International Health Policy Survey, the health and well-being of many of those in Medicare is generally worse than for people over 65 in the 10 other countries, Australia, Canada, France, and Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. The headline for the survey, just published in Health Affairs, adults 65 and older in the U.S. are sicker than those of a similar age in other countries with universal health coverage and are more likely to go without needed care because of costs. Lest you think health care is a stellar in other nations, surveyed, however, there is this. Across all 11, many high-need people, 65-plus, and those with multiple chronic conditions and or trouble with basic activities of daily living express dissatisfaction with the quality of health care that they had received. The U.S. had a significantly higher rate of high-need older adults, 43%, than most of those other countries, however. And the researchers said high-need elderly are more likely to suffer economic hardship, experience depression and anxiety, live alone and feel socially isolated, and be at greater risk for falls than those who aren't high-need. America also has the highest proportion of people 65-plus with multiple chronic conditions. U.S. seniors face more financial barriers to care than those in other countries and are, in effect, hit with a triple whammy: higher health care costs, higher out-of-pocket costs, and because the U.S. doesn't invest heavily in social services, they are more likely to struggle to have their basic needs met, said Robin Osborne, lead author of the study and vice president and director of the International Program in Health Policy and Practice Innovations at the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation studying America's health care system. Said Commonwealth Fund's president, Dr. David Blumenthal, clearly there are struggles everywhere, but here in the U.S. we are hearing loud and clear that many of our seniors, especially those who are the sickest, need more support if they are going to get the health care they need and live healthy lives. The United States, the researchers noted, has disproportionately low spending on social care services compared with the health services of others. While some countries spend $2 on social services for every dollar on health care, the U.S. spends less than 60 cents. One caveat about the survey, older adults living in nursing homes and other facilities weren't sampled. The U.S. seniors more likely to be sick and have trouble affording care than those in peer nations. Now for some of the key findings in the survey. The Commonwealth Fund's first one, looking at the experiences of high-need older adults. The real test of healthcare system is how well it performs for patients with the greatest need, said Osborne. And she added, our focus on the high-need elderly brought into sharp relief the extent to which they were exposed to financial barriers when it came to care. Here's how America's Medicare system performs against the 10 other nations. 41% of Americans 65 plus said it was somewhat difficult to get after-hours care. While that was better than 64% of Swedes who had this complaint, it was much worse than in the Netherlands and Norway, where under 30% had problems getting after-hours care. 31% of Americans age 65 plus who are high need skipped medical care because of the cost. That's more than 15 times the rate in Sweden. Older Americans have comparatively high out-of-pocket expenses in Medicare, with copayments, deductibles, and premiums, and bills for prescription drugs. Also, Medicare doesn't cover certain expensive health care costs, such as hearing aids. In Canada, the Netherlands, and the UK, there are no deductibles or cost-sharing for primary care. France exempts people from cost-sharing for primary care and prescription drugs if they have any of 32 chronic conditions. 25% of Americans 65 plus said that they were often worried about having enough money to buy nutritious meals and pay for housing, utilities, or medical needs. In France, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Switzerland, Sweden, and the UK, only 10% or less had similar concerns. 24% of Americans 65 plus who needed help with activities of daily living, like eating and dressing, said they didn't get the help they needed because of cost. That was the highest of all countries surveyed, just 6% or less in Sweden, France, the Netherlands, and the UK said they didn't get this kind of help due to costs. Citing costs, in the past year, 23% of Americans 65 plus either didn't go to the doctor when they were sick, didn't fill a prescription, or skipped a dose, or didn't get a recommended test or medical treatment. America ranked worst on this measure. By contrast, no more than 5% of people 65 plus in France, Norway, Sweden, and the UK skipped needed care because of costs. 22% of Americans 65 plus spent $2,000 or more out of pocket for health care in the past year. In every other country surveyed, other than Switzerland, 31%, fewer than 10% of residents 65 plus spent $2,000 or more. 15% of Americans 65 plus reported going to the emergency room for a condition that could have been treated by a regular doctor or place of care had one been available, the highest of all nations in the survey. Rates of avoidable ER visits were 8% or below in all of the other countries surveyed except Canada, at 11%. Going to the emergency room, particularly for the elderly, will increase the fragmentation of care, said Osborne. Those patients probably won't have their health records, so they'll be repeating tests, and they may not remember what happened in the ER when they do go to their doctor. Older adults in the U.S., as well as in Canada and the U.K., were the most likely to say they didn't always or often hear from their regular doctor on the same day when they contacted the physician with a medical concern. But truly long waiting times to see a doctor when sick were most prevalent in Germany, Canada, Sweden, and Norway, where 26% to 34% said they had to wait 6 or more days for an appointment in the past year. Only 18% of Americans said this. All told, Blumenthal said, as a nation, we are a little complacent about the value and benefits of Medicare. The silver lining for Medicare beneficiaries. Where America's health system for its older Americans shined in the survey, however, was on prevention and staying healthy. More than half, 53%, of Americans 65 plus with a regular doctor or place of care said their physician talked to them about exercise and healthy eating, the highest of all nations. Similarly, 63% of Americans 65 plus who felt they are at risk for falls said their doctor discussed falls with them, a higher rate than all of the other countries except France and Australia, which was tied. But across all countries, most survey respondents said their physicians were not engaged with them in conversation about mental health, said Osborne. That's a missed opportunity. Depression, when coupled with other chronic conditions, can increase costs 50% or more. When asked about pending legislation that could help Medicare beneficiaries in a significant way, Blumenthal pointed to the bipartisan-sponsored Chronic Act, creating high-quality results and outcomes necessary to improve chronic care. It would support chronic care to a greater extent than current Medicare, he noted. For example, the bill would extend the federal Independence at Home program for the chronically ill who are homebound and offer more flexibility for non-traditional, non-medical services for Medicare Advantage plans. A final thought? No one country performed the best on all measures in the Commonwealth Fund survey, so every country can learn from the others, said Osborne. Richard Eisenberg is a senior web editor of the Money and Security and Work and Purpose channels of Next Avenue and managing editor for the site. He has also been personal finance editor at Money, Yahoo, Good Housekeeping, and CBS Money Watch. Going on now to Forbes. Finally, Congress is considering a simple solution to the Medicare enrollment mess by Howard Gleckman. Enrolling in Medicare Part B should be simple, but for years, the government has been making enrollment nearly impossible for millions of seniors, especially those who are still working or who have delayed taking their Social Security benefits. They are never told that they are Medicare eligible. They don't know that they still face penalties if they don't enroll by a deadline. And they can't figure out how Medicare fits with other health insurance they may have. Bipartisan bills in the House and Senate would take steps to finally fix the problem. People about to turn 65 would get a notice clearly explaining Part B's enrollment rules, and the Medicare enrollment period would become aligned with those of other insurance programs. The Department of Health and Human Services, the Social Security Administration, and the IRS would be able to work together to explain Medicare to those becoming eligible. A bipartisan fix. The identical House and Senate measures are called the Benefit Enrollment Notification and Eligibility Simplification Act, or BENIS. They are sponsored by Senators Todd Young, Republican from Indiana, and Bob Casey, Democrat from Pennsylvania, and by Representatives Raul Ruiz, Democrat California, and Patrick Meehan, Republican Pennsylvania. Medicare has many parts, which is confusing enough. There is no premium for Part A, which covers hospital care, but you must enroll and begin payment premiums for Part B, which includes physician and outpatient care. If you don't enroll within a short window after you are first eligible, you owe a stiff penalty, 10% of your premium for each year you delay. Back in the day, this was all pretty simple. You turned 65, retired from your job, got your gold watch, and started taking Social Security. Once you signed up for Social Security benefits, you got a Medicare card and a Welcome to Medicare package about 3 months before your 65th birthday. You were automatically enrolled in both Part A and Part B on the first day of the month you turned 65. Nice and easy. Not so simple for boomers. For many boomers, the full Social Security enrollment age is now 66 or later. And what if you choose to delay taking Social Security until you are 70, which is a wise choice for many and is encouraged by the government? If you are not getting Social Security benefits, you get no information from Medicare, no notice that you are eligible, no warning about the late enrollment penalties, no welcome to Medicare. You must know the rules and take the initiative to enroll. What if you are still getting insurance from your employer, or getting COBRA from your former employer, or have bought insurance on the Affordable Care Act health exchanges? How does Part B fit with that coverage? And how do you sync the loss of that private insurance with Part B? What if your private insurance ends before Medicare's annual enrollment period begins? The consequences for older Americans can be severe. The Congressional Research Service estimates that in 2014, 750,000 people paid a late enrollment penalty that averaged 30%. Others fell through the cracks between private insurance and Medicare, never realizing they had no coverage at all until they got a bill. The Trump administration would make the Medicare enrollment process even harder with a proposal to shutter a small federal program called the State Health Insurance Program, or SHIP, that helps seniors navigate Medicare. And the bill has generated broad support from consumer groups and provider groups led by the Medicare Rights Center. That group, which gives individual advice about Medicare, says that about one quarter of the 3 million calls it got in 2016 were from people who did not understand the enrollment process. Now, this should be a no-brainer. Medicare is a critical government insurance program that its beneficiaries don't understand. It shouldn't take an act of Congress to get the government to explain it, but since it apparently does, Congress should pass Bennis and fix the problem. A little bit more on that later. Now, from the National Council on Aging Community Service Employment Program. Straight Talk for Seniors. The Bipartisan Act of 2018, what it means for seniors. It was adopted on February 9th when it was president signed. The Bipartisan Budget Act also features several positive changes to Medicare, including benefits outreach. The act extends for 2 years at current levels of $37.5 million funding for outreach and enrollment for low-income Medicare beneficiaries originally authorized under the Medicare Improvement for Patients and Providers Act, or MIPA. NCOA played a leadership role in securing this funding, which is allocated to SHIPs, Area Agencies on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Centers, and the National Center for Benefits and Outreach Enrollment. Therapy services. The law permanently repeals the Medicare payment cap for therapy services and the donut hole. The act closes the Medicare Part D coverage gap, or donut hole, 1 year earlier. Beneficiary contributions will decrease to 25% of prescription costs in 2019 instead of 2020. In-home care. The law extends the Independence at Home Demonstration Program by 2 years and increases the number of participating beneficiaries from 10,000 to 15,000. It also improves access to Medicare telehealth services. Special needs plans. The Act makes Medicare special needs plans, or SNPs, permanent. SNPs target enrollment to one or more special needs individuals, including those who are institutionalized, dually eligible for Medicare and Medicaid, or living with severe or disabling chronic conditions. And chronic illness. The law expands Medicare Advantage supplemental benefits to meet the needs of chronically ill enrollees. These benefits would be required to have a reasonable expectation of improving or maintaining the health or overall function of the chronically ill enrollee and would not be limited to primarily health-related services. Unfortunately, the Budget Act does not include other provisions that the National Council on Aging and aging advocates were seeking. NCOA and other national organizations will continue to urge Congress to include these in the March omnibus package. Long-term services and supports. This act does not extend the Medicaid Money Follows the Person program, which expired September 2016. It has assisted states in transitioning over 75,000 Medicaid enrollees from nursing facilities back to community-based settings. Senators Portman, Republican from Ohio, and Cantwell, Democrat from Washington, have introduced Bill 2227 to make improvements and extend the program for 5 years. Part B enrollment. Now listen to this. The law does not include the bicameral, bipartisan, Beneficiary Enrollment Notification and Eligibility Simplification Act, or BENS, which would have improved the Medicare Part B enrollment process. To help pay for many of the new spending items, the act also includes a variety of program cuts. Of particular concern to older adults are Prevention and Public Health Fund. The act cuts the fund by $1.35 billion over 10 years, starting in fiscal year 2024. It makes important investments in falls prevention and chronic disease self-management. Medicare premiums. The act increases the percentage that Medicare beneficiaries with incomes of at least $500,000, $750,000 for couples, must pay in Medicare Part B and Part D premiums from 80% to 85% of costs. Next steps. With appropriators working to finalize fiscal year 2018 funding in March, NCOA will be advocating that, at a minimum, proposed cuts in aging services should be reversed. And now, finally, from Next Avenue, what President Trump's Medicare proposals may mean, by Margarita Jorge and Ethan Rohn. This article previously appeared in MarketWatch and reflects the views of its authors. On the campaign trail, President Trump made a lot of promises, including the declaration that he would not cut Medicare as president. But we believe that's exactly what he's doing with this proposed budget for 2019. The plan includes $554 billion in cuts to Medicare, the federal health care program that provides insurance for 55 million Americans over 65 or with disabilities. The program helps ensure that every American can afford doctor's appointments, medications, and life-saving treatments after they retire or when they're no longer able to work. Proposals for prescription drug prices. While some of the proposed changes to Medicare would target reimbursements for doctors to ensure they are not charging too much and would pass rebates along to beneficiaries directly, other program savings come from picking winners and losers around changes to the program's prescription drug coverage. Those with the highest drug prices, just over 1 million Americans who reach the cost threshold to qualify for Medicare's catastrophic prescription drug coverage, would pay none of those costs instead of paying the current 5% copay. But the changes would also make it much harder to qualify for that level of coverage and would force those just shy of that threshold, those with prescription drug bills between $3,750 and $8,418, to pay as much as $1,000 more. And even with the new cap on out-of-pocket prescription drug expenses, millions of older Americans and people with disabilities would ultimately pay even more than they currently do for prescription drugs and could have even fewer choices for covered medications. Obstacles to getting care. The budget plan would also make it more difficult for physicians to refer Medicare patients to other providers after they are treated for an acute medical condition. In other words, older Americans and people with disabilities would face new obstacles in accessing the care their doctors recommend. With potential outcomes like that, it's not surprising physicians groups stand strongly opposed to the Medicare cuts, and AARP has long argued against any reforms that shift costs to Medicare beneficiaries or threaten their access to care. While Trump claims that lowering drug prices is a top priority, it was one of his core campaign and State of the Union promises, his budget does not allow Medicare to fully negotiate directly with pharmaceutical companies, which is widely considered the most effective way to keep prices down. If Medicare could secure the same prices on medications that Medicaid receives, it could save as much as $16 billion every year. The limited measures included in Trump's plan to lower drug prices might be popular with pharmaceutical companies and a good talking point for those who don't look into the details. But it stops significantly short of making the kinds of changes that would make a real difference in drug prices, one of Americans' top health care and financial concerns. Other proposed cuts and older Americans. And the changes to Medicare are just a small part of the budget and just a fraction of the cuts that would hit older Americans and people with disabilities particularly hard. It includes Affordable Care Act repeal, which would strip more than 20 million of health care and allow insurance companies to discriminate against those with pre-existing conditions. This has already been rejected by the Senate, and repeal is overwhelmingly opposed by the public. It includes cuts to programs that many veterans rely on to receive health care. And while the opioid crisis is supposedly a top priority for this administration, deep cuts to Medicaid would only make it harder to access life-saving treatment in the communities hardest hit by the opioid epidemic. He says working families are a priority, but this plan would make it harder for everyday Americans to feed their families, pay the rent, and afford health care. Americans deserve better from a president who pledged to protect seniors. And I would add now that the bipartisan budget agreement also has provisions of the Creating High-Quality Results and Outcomes Necessary to Improve Chronic Care Act, or CHRONIC. It has expanded supplemental benefits in Medicare Advantage to allow delivery for seniors with diabetes, arthritis, and other condition of meals. Well, as of this reading, there is no indication of what proposals will or will not become part of healthcare law. I will continue to inform you as information becomes more available to me. Thanks for listening today, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Squyk. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Squyk. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.